thank you for being here this morning. Those that are visiting your line, we have some. Happy that you're here. We hope that you open your Bibles and minds as we study together this morning. Before we begin into the study, there's a couple other things we want to mention. Andy, that is his son, is in the hospital in Markham, and we need to remember him in our prayers. He mentioned on in our country. Not only do we need to pray for people in South Carolina, we need to pray for our country. Our country is in dire straits. We're going down the wrong road, and we are looking to the wrong thing for the solution to our problem. The solution to our problems is not in the government, it's not in Congress, it's not in our president. The solution to our problems is God, and we have to get back to God. And we have to get back to His Word. The only way you're going to change conduct of people is you've got to change your heart. You've got to change their attitudes about things. And the only thing that can do that is the Word of God. And that's what we need to pray for. I also want to extend my congratulations to all you fathers. Today is Father's Day. Today is a day that's been set aside in our country to remember our fathers and the great role that they have in our lives. If your father is still alive, please make sure you make some means of contacting him and letting him know how much you love him and how much you appreciate what he's meant to your life. I called mine last night. I knew I'd be busy today. So I'm thankful he's still here, and we need to be mindful of I understand more than most that if it were not for the things that he taught me and the upbringing that he gave me, that I would not be what I am and where I am. And I'm deeply grateful for that and hope that he knows it. Last week, I began looking with you at a subject that is really needful for all of us, and it is the Christian struggles. There are things that we struggle with in the everyday life and in the real world. Last week, we discussed the subject of busy schedules, how so much demands of our time, how so many things are pressing us and our families and our jobs and the things and the decisions that we make, and somehow it's very easy to squeeze spirituality, God, and things that should be of most importance in our lives out of our lives because we are so busy. Today, I want to talk about another struggle that I believe is common to man. And we use as the basis of our study Martha and Mary in Luke chapter 10. In Luke chapter 10, we remember we read that Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things. Because Martha was troubled about serving those who were there besides the Lord, that doesn't make her a bad person. It doesn't mean that she's immoral. It doesn't mean that she's lacking in love for the Lord. It just means that she was bothered by many things, and she was distracted, and that distraction caused her to struggle. Well, we, like Martha, have many things that we struggle with that cause us to be distracted. And like I said, last week we talked about schedules. Today, I want to talk to you about bad attitudes. Bad attitudes are a constant struggle for people who are striving to serve God and yet seem to have difficulty in relationships. The evidence is that every one of us have had bad attitude towards someone at some time in our life. At some time in our life, we have come up against having a bad attitude about a situation or a person because of the things that happen in that relationship. And that bad attitude begins to mirror in the things that we think and in the things that we do. Every Christian has an attitude towards others. Every one of you in this audience this morning have an attitude about other people. It may be good, it may be right, it may be wrong, and it may be bad. But nevertheless, you have an attitude and I have an attitude. And the attitudes that we have are important because they are what we begin to act out. They are what we begin to demonstrate in the way that we treat people, how we talk about them, and how we think about them. And so if the attitude is wrong and it's bad, it's going to bring bad action. It's going to make bad decisions. And it's going to treat people badly. And so we need to make sure that we don't allow bad attitudes to come up in our life. Attitudes form the basis of how we treat people. How you treat people is how you feel about them. How you feel about them expresses your attitude. They are parallel. If I have a bad attitude towards someone, it's going to be easily demonstrated and seen by the way that I treat that person and how I conduct myself around that person. And so that's not something that's an opinion. That is what Jesus himself said. In Matthew, the 15th chapter, in verse number 19, Jesus was teaching those who were trying to trap him. And in verse 15, beginning in verse 19, he said this. He said, "For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, and adulteries, fornication, theft, and false witness, and blasphemy. These are the things which defile a man." Now, those actions are ungodly. Those actions of adultery, murder, evil thought, fornication, so on, those actions are simple. They are wrong. But where did those actions begin? They did not begin in the act. They began in the thought process. They began in the heart. And therefore, if you get your heart right, it's going to make your actions right. If your heart's wrong, your actions are going to be wrong. If your attitude's wrong, your actions are going to be wrong. It just mirrors itself. And so we want to discuss four aspects about bad attitudes. We want to discuss who, the why, the what, and the how. We want to discuss who is responsible. Who is responsible for bad attitude? Why do bad attitudes happen? Number three, what is to be done about a bad attitude? And how do you protect yourself from not having a bad attitude? Now, the first question that we need to ask and we need to discuss is who? Who bears responsibility? Who bears responsibility in the attitudes that I formulate, in the attitudes that I have? Who bears the responsibility? Well, let's see what the scripture is. There's a common problem here. The common problem is others think that others should have the right attitude towards us. We always want to put the foot and put the responsibility on the other person. We always want to point to the other person as having the trouble or having the problem. But we do very little in thinking about whether or not we have the right attitude towards the other person. Now again, people can mistreat you. People can misunderstand you. People can mischaracterize you. People can do that. But do they do it intentionally? Do they do it with intent? Do they do it with intent to hurt? Do they do it intent in order to put you in a bad light? Now unless they tell you that, there's no way you know that. That is something that you're surmising or that you believe, but you do not have the evidence because you don't know what's in another person's heart. Now, a lot of times, actions of other people will be misunderstood because they are not appropriate actions or they're not appropriate in the way that it was done. But that doesn't mean that the action is wrong or the intent of the person who's acting and doing the action was for an evil or for a wrong purpose. Much of the time, what we need to do is we need to give people benefits of the doubt. And we need to, if we have a problem or if we think there's a difficulty, then we need to seek clarification. We need to make sure before we arrive at a wrong conclusion, we need to make sure we completely understand why an appropriate action was done, what was the purpose of that action, and what was it designed to do. And we need to know that before we go ahead and arbitrarily give or claim that others have hurt us or others have been unkind to us until we know for sure that their motive and their intent was sinful. Now, brethren, unfortunately, in the Lord's church, we are very good at looking at the worst possible case scenario of any given situation. We are very prone to skip to the worst possible conclusion instead of looking at another conclusion. And therefore, it leads us to have ill will and ill feelings towards others. And I want to tell you, that's a sin. No doubt, no discussion, when I have a wrong attitude about another person, that's simple. It doesn't matter what that person did. It doesn't matter what that person said. Two wrongs don't make a right. That conduct and that attitude is sin in God's sight. Now, why don't you take your Bible out and turn to Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12, we're going to look at who God places the responsibility on about attitude. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 18, the text says, "If it is possible, as much as depend on you, live peaceably with all men." Now, as much as lies within me, I have a personal responsibility, and you have a personal responsibility, to live with peace with all men. That's as far as my responsibility goes. I have met people, and I have known people, that no matter what you do, no matter how you say it, no matter what you try to do, they will not allow you to live at peace with them. Now, where does the responsibility, where does it fall? It falls upon me to do the best that I can do. But I cannot do that for another person. I cannot bear the responsibility of someone else's attitude. That's not my responsibility. That's the responsibility of the individual. And so I want to do my part. I want to do my part to have the best possible attitude that I have towards all people. I need to work hard towards a good relationship. Now, brother, we're not all the same. We don't all think the same. We don't come from the same background. We don't do things the same way. We don't arrive at the conclusions in the same way. And so we're different. We're different as individuals. And sometimes individuals will make bad decisions. They will make bad choices. They will choose the wrong word. They will choose the wrong phrase. They will do it at an inappropriate time. And they'll do it when it's not justified because of the situation. It happens. You know what that's called? That's called being human. That's called human frailty. And all of us have the disease. Every one of us have the disease of having human frailty. But the real issue is that from my point of view and from my part, I've got to do the best within my ability to have a good relationship towards all people. I've got to try. It requires effort on my part. I've got to go the extra mile. I've got to do whatever it takes in order to give the best possible chance for a relationship to be a positive relationship. I must try to the best of my ability. I must make sure that no one can blame you. If I do my dead level best to demonstrate a good attitude, to treat a person in a proper way, in order to have a good relationship, that's all I can do. I can't do any more than that. That's all that I can do, and that's all God charges me with what to do. The other part is someone else's responsibility. They have equal responsibility. And you cannot do my part, neither can I do your part. And so we're both going to have to do our part. And we're going to both have to try. That we both have no blame in this process. It requires by any passage on relationship. You can deal in any relationship, whether you're talking about husband and wife, whether you're talking about mother and father and parents and children, whether you're talking about your employer and employee, whether you're talking about your friends, and especially when you're talking about your brethren. In the Bible, it is absolutely paramount and it is crystal clear that we are to love one another. I could give you a number of passages. 1 John chapter 4 says, "If we don't love our brother whom we have seen, how can we love God whom we have not seen?" 1 John 4 verse 19. And the Bible says if we say we love God and hate our brother, he is a liar and the truth does not lie in him. Brethren, you cannot have ill will in your heart for any brother or sister in Christ and think that you're going to get to heaven. It is not going to happen. It is incompatible with Christianity and with Christian conduct. Now, we all have times when we need to work out difficulties. But we need to work them out for the good of the relationship. And we need to work them out for the good of our relationship with God. Because remember, God will have no fellowship with sin, Ephesians 5 and verse 11. And if my attitude and my conduct towards another person is sinful, then that causes me to be at odds with God. That makes it a serious issue, ladies and gentlemen. It's not just personal. Well, you know, we sometimes think that we can have these attitudes and they're just personal. They're just things between me and another person and it doesn't involve God. Wrong. It does involve God. Because it involves both of our relationship with God. Because God expects us to have the proper relationship. And when we don't, we need to fix it. One of us, both of us, we need to fix it. And we need to fix it so neither one of us lose our soul. It may require a change in my attitude. You know what? Believe it or not, you can be wrong. Believe it or not, you might be wrong. Maybe you might be wrong. Maybe I might be wrong. Maybe we're both wrong. Maybe the thing is that they're both wrong. We both have the wrong attitude. Well, then we both need to make a change. But we have to be willing. Here's the kicker. We both have to be willing to change if it's obvious and if it's apparent that it's my attitude that needs to change. But brethren, I've met people in my life that are willing to change. They're going to have it their way and they don't care if anybody likes it or not. Well, you know what? You have the ability to choose to do that. But don't make yourself under any reservation that you're going to get to heaven if you treat people in that manner. Because it's not going to happen. Because that's incompatible with Christianity. That's not the way God expects us to act as brethren and as people of God in the world. There are people that make it very difficult for you to get along with. I've met them and you've met them. But you still got to do your part. You still got to do your dead level best to have a good attitude towards that person and treat that person in the way that God would have us treat them. Even if others don't or won't change your attitude. What if I have a relationship and somebody won't change their attitude? They won't do the right thing. They don't want to change and they're not interested in change. So does that give me the right to do the same thing that they do? No. I still have to do what's right. Brethren, no matter what other people do, you and I must always do right. If somebody does wrong, does not authorize me, it does not give me the right to do wrong too. If somebody does wrong, that's between them and God. That does not in any way say that it's okay for me to do wrong. That kind of thinking, again, is not compatible with Christianity. We've got to do it no matter what other people. You know what? I can only do what I can do. I can't do your action. And so whatever way you act or whatever you do, you're going to do. But whatever you do does not affect on what I'm going to do. I'm going to do what God tells me no matter what you do. You can treat me unkindly. You can treat me unfairly. You can lie about you. You can malign me. You cannot like me. You can do all of those things. But none of those things would justify me in treating you in an unkind or ungodly manner. Because if I do that, I'm sinning in sin also. No matter if I use the argument, well, that's the way they treat me. It doesn't matter. It's still sin. And then both of us will lose our soul. Both of us will lose our soul. Do not say as much as depends on them. That's not what the verse says. To live peacefully doesn't say as much as depends on them. It says as much as depends on you. You've got to do your part. I've got to do my part. That's what God charges me with. I bear the responsibility for my conduct, for my attitude. I bear that responsibility. Nobody else does. You are to see it if it is possible to get along. It is possible to get along. You know what? There's going to be people that you're not going to see eye to eye with. There's people that have a disposition. There's people that have a way about them that maybe doesn't rub you the right way. Because their attitude and their, not their attitude, but their actions just are not something that you are comfortable with. You know what? There's a lot of people like that. I'm very direct. I don't mince words. I don't want to be misunderstood. I try to make it real cut and dry. Because I believe that's the way I want people to treat me. I don't want no hidden agendas. I don't want no hidden meaning. I don't have to, I want to wonder if they meant by that. I wonder if that was a compliment or an insult. I'm not sure. Well, if you're not sure, ask. But you see, I want people to understand where I'm coming from, what I'm striving to do. Now, does that mean that I do this 100% of the time accurately? No, I don't. I do the best I can. But I'm not above doing it wrong. I'm not above making a mistake. I'm not above that. And I understand that. And I've had to say I'm sorry. I've had to back up once or twice in my life. More than that, really. I've had to back up again. That's what you do when you're wrong. You change. When you're wrong, you change. And you correct the behavior. And you go on and you learn from it. That's all God expects. He doesn't expect any more or any less. We must take the high road. You know what? There are some people that you're just not going to mesh with. It's just not going to happen. They just have the way that they conduct their life and the way they think and the way they reason is going to be completely contrary to the way you think and the way you reason. But you know what? You can still get along. You can still take the high road. And because they don't react or do the things that you think they ought to do, that's their choice. That's their decision. Just accept it. And don't let it affect how you feel about them. Don't let them cause you to lose your soul. Now, brethren, you're the only one that could cause another person to let you lose your soul. I went to see people who've fallen away from the church, and they say, well, I just wasn't treated right. Well, take it out on God. Just take it out on God because you weren't treated right. That's who you're taking it out on. You're taking it out on God. Now, a person may have been mistreated. They may have not done the right thing. That may be true, but maybe it's not true. Maybe there needs to be some clarification. Maybe there's a misunderstanding and it needs to be clarified. But how are you going to know if you never get together and discuss it? You're never going to know. You're just going to assume, and you're going to let that assumption base the way that you think and you treat that person. Brethren, that's shallow. That's shallow. We need to have more love for another person than to do that. Why? What are the dangers involved in having a bad attitude? Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, the Bible says, therefore, as you have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those of the household of faith. We have a special responsibility to do good to all men. But we have a double responsibility to do those good to those who are of the household of faith. We need to be right. We need to strive to be right in our relationship with others. We need to treat others right so we will be right. I need to treat others in the way that God has commanded me to treat them in order that I'll be right with God. Not that I'll be right, not that I can boast my chest that I'm right and you're wrong, but that I'm right with God. Every one of our actions should be sought to be right with God. We want to always stand in good standing with God. Not because they are right. We're not doing it for self-glory. We're not doing it so we can say we're right and you're wrong. We're doing it because it's the right thing to do. We have the proper attitude because that's the right thing to do. That's the thing God calls upon us to do. How many of you know this passage? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law of the prophets. This is called the golden rule. You treat others as you would want others to treat you. Now, let me explain. If I would want you to come to me, if you think that I have misspoke, or I have misstated something, or I have not treated you in the right way, or I have not done something in the right way, I would want you to come to me and let's talk about it. Let's discuss it and let's get this thing worked out. Let's fix the problem. Let's not just go on staying away from each other, ignoring each other, and just pretending like it doesn't exist and assuming something that may not be true and may not be right. I would want you to come to me. Why? Because I don't want you to have ill will towards me. Well, I would hope that you would have the same attitude, that you would not want to have ill will towards you. But you know what? The only way that that's going to be accomplished is that you're going to have to talk about it. You're going to have to discuss it. But the problem with this is that one sin breeds another sin. Sin has a tendency to compound itself. You see, if I have a bad attitude, it's going to begin to compound itself by me having a bad action towards my brother and towards thinking badly and putting that brother in a bad light. Not just to me, but to other people I talk to. You know, the Bible says that the sinner will wax worse and worse. And that's what bad attitudes do. They begin to show themselves in how I treat another person, how I talk to that person, how I talk about that person in front of other people, and how that person is portrayed to other people. And so now I'm compounding my sin. Now I'm just not content that I've been mistreated. I want everybody else to know that I've been mistreated. And I want everybody else to know that I've been done wrong. Brethren, that's compounding sin. That's compounding sin. Colossians 3, lest has a breeding effect. And what do I mean by that? But listen to what Paul said. He said, therefore put to death your members which are on the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, and idolatry. Because these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourself once walked in them when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put away these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie one to another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. Now, what happens is my desire is wrong. If I have evil desire, then it's going to lead to uncleanness. It's going to lead me into sin. And then that evil desire is going to lead me into fornication. You see, I'm going down the road. Sin is progressing. I'm getting deeper and deeper in it. That's what happens with bad attitudes. You get deeper and deeper down the path of sin. And the deeper you get, the more difficult it is to extract yourself from it. The more difficult that you're making for yourself, and the more people you are involving in it. And so the situation escalates itself. You know, I can be angry at someone. And then if I don't deal with that anger, if I don't do something about it, it's going to lead me to have more anger. That's going to turn to wrath. And then wrath turns to malice. And then malice turns to blasphemy when I begin to speak against that person when I don't know, but I'm only doing it because I'm angry at them. You see, it breeds. It just continues to grow. That's the danger with a bad attitude, brethren. It just continues to permeate our lives and leaves us further and further and further away from God. And further down the path of sin, and it destroys your character, your influence, and your example. It completely distorts it. Now, brethren, it is a fact that if you leave something unresolved, it's not going to get fixed by itself. It's not just automatically going to be fixed. You're going to have to resolve it before it leads you deeper into sin. And the other thing that's dangerous in this is it hardens your heart to where the truth can no longer permeate, where you don't care. I don't care. I'm not going to do it. I don't care. And that can happen. Read 1 Timothy chapter 4. You can sear your conscience with a hot iron. And I'm going to stand my ground, and I'm going to do what I want, and I'm going to think what I want, and no matter what the ramifications are, I'm going to have it my way, and that's the way it's going to be. Good for you. But you've just lost your soul. Now let me ask you a question. When you and I stand before God on the day of judgment, and He says to one of us or both of us to depart from me, I never knew you, do you think it's going to be worth it then? Do you think it's going to be worth it to have your way then? Is it? Think about that. I want you to think about that real clearly. Is it worth? So I can be right. So I can put that person in their place. So I can put them where they need to be put. Is it worth it? Is it worth losing your soul over? Because that's what it'll lead to. That's what will happen. That's not maybe. That's going to happen. If you continue going down this path, that's what's going to happen. You're going to lose your soul. And you know what? I don't want you to lose your soul. God doesn't want you to lose your soul. But you have the ability to stop this train wreck. You have the ability to get this train back on the right track. But you're going to have to look within yourself. And you're going to have to make some adjustments. And not let sin breed and lead you further and deeper into it. Proverbs 23 verse 7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. Now, this is just a fact that we are what we think. Whatever we think in our mind is going to come out in our actions and our conduct. Our conduct is just a mirror of what's in our mind. That's what it is. When I watch a person's actions, when I watch the way that they treat people, when I watch the way they talk about people, when I see the things that they do, that's a mirror that's telling me what's in their heart. And everybody can see it. You don't have to tell me. It's a mirror that I can... That's why the Bible says in Matthew 7:15, judge them by their fruits. By your fruits you shall know them. We need... Attitudes lead to action. How you feel about somebody is going to eventually lead to how you treat them, how you talk to them, how you talk about them, what you say about them, how you portray them. All that is formulated by your attitude towards that person. Now, I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, as plain as I can make this out. If you got a bad attitude about anybody, and that includes me, you need to fix it. Because if you don't fix it, you're going to lose your soul. Plain and simple. That's how serious it is. It's not just a personal issue. It's not just how I feel or you feel. It has eternal consequences. And we need to always keep that. What we do matters. Because that's what we're going to be judged by. What does 2 Corinthians 5:10 say? We must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the things done in the body, whether they be good or whether they be evil. We're going to give an account of how we think. We're going to give an account of how we reason. And we're going to give an account in how we treated and how we acted and our attitude towards other people. We're going to give an account of that. And you know what? There's two people that know that. God knows that, and you know that. Would you look and take a good look at this chart? Attitudes lead to action. Here's where attitudes are formed. They're formed in my mind. Here's where I formulate my attitude towards other people. I formulate it in my mind. Now, a lot of things happen that cause that attitude to be formed. Actions of the other person, things that happen, things that are said, things that are done. All of these help formulate my attitude. But that attitude then will mirror itself and demonstrate itself in how it produces action in my life. It's going to produce how I treat, how I talk, and how I act towards another person. Now, is that true or false? That's exactly the truth. Now, let me give you a biblical example. Evil comes from the heart. We read that in Matthew 15:19. Evils proceed from the heart. Now, let me give you a biblical example. If I have lust in my heart towards another individual, That will lead, nobody ever committed adultery without first having lust in their heart. It never happened. You cannot commit adultery until you first have lust in your heart for something that's an inordinate desire, for something that is not yours. And when you have that desire, that leads to the act of adultery. You ever heard people say? You ever heard people say this? Well, I didn't intend for it to happen. I didn't mean for it to happen. Baloney. You see, that's a process. You know, let me explain. This is a process. You know, the first thing you've got to do is you have to go where you don't belong. That's the first mistake you make. Second mistake you make, you let your mind go where it should not go. You let your mind wander into an area that you know it should not go into. And what you're doing is you're traveling toward the path of committing this sin. But then you begin to have a relationship with someone that you know you shouldn't have. You haven't committed sin yet, but you're down the road. You're traveling down the road. You're going through the inevitable conclusion. All that's missing is the opportunity to act upon your desire. And that will happen if you begin to travel this road. Why do you think pornography is a sin? Why do you think that's a sin? It's where it takes your mind. It leads you down a road that you don't want to go down. Because it will lead you to commit the act when given the opportunity. I'll give you an example. I'm a man and I know my limitations. I'm not going to put myself in a position where I could be lead my mind to lust. I'm not going to a place where there's going to be women who are unmodestly dressed that can lead my mind into a place that I don't want it to go. And I have the ability to not be there. I'm not going to do that. Because I'm not going to place that temptation in front of me. I'm going to do that. Because I don't want my mind to go where I know that it doesn't need to go. Now, let me give you an excellent illustration. You ever been on the internet? And you're looking up something. You're looking up for a place, or you're looking up a word, or you're trying to find something, and you Google it in there, you hit enter, and whoop! What comes up on the screen? Something you know that shouldn't come up, and what you didn't intend for it to be. What do you do? Do you click and get out? Or do you allow your eyes to continue to look? And when you do, you're going to hit that enter button and you're going to go to where you know you shouldn't go. And you know what? You're on the path. You're on the path. That's how it works. That's how it works. Hate leads to murder. Why did Diamond Wolf go into that church on Thursday night and gun down those 9 people in a Bible study at a prayer service? Why did he do that? I don't know why he did it, but I know one thing I learned is that he had a hatred for man's color of his skin. And his hatred led him to commit murder. You hate. That's where it begins. And you know what? When you let guns want to stop that. Guns is not the problem. The problem is the heart of the individual that pulls the trigger. You've got to change his heart. You've got to change his mind. If he didn't have hate, he wouldn't have been in that. He wouldn't have been there, and he wouldn't have had a gun, and he wouldn't have never pulled the trigger had he not had hate in his heart for the person. Because of the color of his skin. That's a hate crime. And that's what our government's going to find out. They're going to spend millions of dollars, but I already know. It's a hate crime. He did not like black people. What did those 9 people ever do to that young man? Except be born black. Tell me our country doesn't have a problem. That's how attitudes work. When you have a bad attitude, it's going to present sinful actions that have serious, serious consequences. Attitudes can't be simple. Now, we're not going to read this for time's sake, and this will be the last point this morning. But when you read Romans chapter 1, it talks about the sins of men who don't retain God in their knowledge. And their sins are terrible. Their homosexuality, which is against nature, sexual immorality of all kinds, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, murder, haters of God. Those are terrible, sinful acts. But where did those terrible and sinful acts begin? Where did they generate the intent to do those things? It came with these attitudes. Covetousness. What's that? Is that selfishness? That's greed. Maliciousness. Envy. Proud. Boasters. Undeserving. Untrustworthy. Unloving. Unforgiving. Unmerciful. Those are attitudes. All those attitudes lead to those sins. Do you see that? A person can't commit murder until he has hate in his heart. People cannot commit adultery or sexual immorality or homosexuality until they have a lustful desire in their heart. It cannot happen. Those lustful attitudes, those sinful attitudes, lead to ungodly sins. But you know the truth of the matter is? They're both sin. The attitude sin, and so is the outcome of sin. And you know what that means, brethren? Stay away from the attitude. Listen, you know what this one is? Unloving. What does unloving lead to? Abortion. How could you kill another human being? Oh, I would never kill a human being. Well, you would abort a fetus because that's not a human being. You see, how does a mother... Did you read it not long ago? A mother burned her own 3-year-old child to death. How do you do that? You have an unloving attitude. How would a mother kill her own child? Because the Bible calls this without natural affection. That's an attitude. You know what they... You know, since 1973, we have aborted 1 billion babies in our country. You think the blood was running in the streets in Jerusalem? We got it up to the bridles here in our country. We got all that innocent blood and all of it. Doesn't matter because it really wasn't a lie. Those are people that have unloving attitude. You know, I get so tired of this debate. It says, well, it's a woman's right to do with the body. Who speaks for the child? Who speaks for the life that's within that woman? Who speaks for that child? I'll tell you who speaks for it. God speaks for it. God says that's a life, and when you take it, that is murder, plain and simple. And I don't care how you paint it. I don't care what name you put on it. I don't care how you legalize it. I don't care how you vote on it. God says it's murder, and it'll always be murder. And it all starts because our attitudes are not right. And brethren, we're never going to change the things that are wrong in this country until we change the attitudes of the people that live in it. The attitudes are leading to the problems that we have. People think that they're owed anything. You owe it to me. You owe me this. You owe me that. You owe me a living. I didn't bring myself in this world. Somebody else did. They owe me a living. They owe me this. And those attitudes breed sin. That's how it works. And that's what's dangerous about bad attitudes. It breeds ungodly action. And that will lead us into sin and cause us to lose our soul. Same thing. In Second Corinthians 12. Uncleanness, fornication, lewdness, lasciviousness. Those are sins. Those are terrible sins. But those sins begin with these attitudes of jealousy, selfish ambition, conceit. I want it. I desire it. It's my life. I want to do it. And so it's all about me. And so that kind of attitude leads me into those kind of sins. You see, the attitude breeds the sin. That's what I want you to see. The attitude breeds the sin. You all know the works of the flesh. Adultery, fornication, lewdness, idolatry, murders, drunkenness, But all those sins are breeded by the attitudes of hatred, jealousy, selfish ambition, envy, and selfishness. All those things breed those ungodly sins. And so, brethren, how important is it for me and you to keep our mind in the right place? We have to keep our mind right, and the only way you're going to keep your mind right is to keep your attitude right, and when your attitude's right, then your actions are going to be right. Let me conclude this morning by this comment. If you want to get any relationship fixed that you're not comfortable with in your life, if there's any relationship, whether you're talking about marriage, whether you're talking about a relationship with your parents, whether you're talking about a relationship with your employer, employee, or a friend, or a loved one, or brother. If you want to make that relationship better and make it work, then the problem you have is in your attitude. You correct the attitude and you watch the problem disappear. I challenge you. Try it. See. See if I change my attitude, if it doesn't change the way I do things. It doesn't change the way I treat another person. The way I talk to another person. The way that I interact with another person. I challenge you to try it. See if I change my attitude about that person. If I change the way I talk about them, the way I treat them, the way I discourse with them. See if that doesn't change the relationship. I guarantee you it will. Because God says it will. And so if you're here today and you're not a child of God, I want you to know that God loves you. He sent His Son to die for you. And it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what sin it is. I don't care and God doesn't care. God only cares that you repent of it. That you turn away from it. That you acknowledge it. And that you confess that you believe that He is the Son of God. That He died for your sin. That He gave His life that you might live. And that you submit to baptism in order to contact the blood of Christ. And that you might arise to walk in newness of life, as Romans chapter 4 says. But many of you in this audience have already done that. And you're already on. And you're already one of God's children. But maybe your life's not what it ought to be. Maybe you've not lived the kind of life that you know that you need to live. And maybe, for whatever reason there may be, your life may not be right with God. Come home. God loves you. Your brethren love you. Everybody makes mistakes. That's not the tragedy. The tragedy is remaining in them. Remaining separated from God. Because the price is too high if the Lord comes again or if you die in that condition. Brethren, hell's too hot, eternity's too long, and being out of the presence of God is too terrible a thought to think about. But it doesn't have to be that way. Repent. We'll pray with you and for you. God will forgive you. God loves you. God wants you to be with Him. If we can help you in any way, we bid you come forward to schedule a standing sin.